Thank you. Turn with me this morning, please, to Genesis chapter number 21. Genesis chapter number 21. This morning, as we continue our series in the book of Genesis, this chapter, I think, has a number of things in it. We'll look at only about 8 verses this morning, and then tonight we'll look at some more verses. But this chapter has a number of principles in it that I think is very pertinent for me personally, and for each one of you personally, and for the church as a whole. Principles that we need to grasp, principles that God over and over in Genesis is using to teach Abraham and Sarah. And of course, we also see, probably tonight, principles that God is using to work in Hagar's life as well. Chapter 21. This chapter I've entitled The Delivery of the Son. Of course, the promised seed to Abraham and Sarah. We're going to look first of all this morning at the conception of Isaac. Verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who will have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning asking you to take these verses and the principles that are in this section and drive them deep, Lord, into each one of our hearts. Help us to realize and see by the finish of this message that you're faithful and we can trust you. We ask your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to see is what I call in verse number 1 and 2, the faithfulness of God. Notice in verse number 1 again, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Notice the last part of verse number 1, as he had spoken. Notice verse number 2 again. Last part, which God had spoken to him. 3 times in 2 verses, it points out the fact that what is taking place right here is nothing other than God's faithfulness to Abraham and to Sarah. Now, let me say this. God faithfully reminds us that we can trust him. Over and over and over. If we fail to listen to the faithful reminders that God gives us on a regular basis that we can trust him, he'll bring about a situation that will cause us to trust him. I mean, in other words, we're going to come face to face with a situation where we have to trust him. If we refuse to listen to his reminders and or accept the statements that he gives us to start with. I want you to hold your place here. We're going to do a lot of turning this morning, probably a lot more than we normally do. But go back with me to chapter number 12, please. And I'm going to do just a quick running account through these chapters to show how God had told Abraham and then reminds Abraham over and over of his faithfulness and what he is going to do when he's going to do it. Now, we step into chapter number 12, of course. Verse number 7 is the first mention of this. Back in the first few verses, it simply says, God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And you're going to be a blessing. Verse number 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. The first mention that Abraham is going to have a seed is right here in verse number 7. No other references before this that God's told him that he's going to have seed. But anyway, here we see that he promises him that seed. Now, here in chapter number 7, chapter 12, verse number 7, and probably from verse number 1 in the last part of chapter number 11 where he left the land of Ur and came here, is probably at least a year, year and a half before he gets here. Now from chapter 12 all the way over to where we're at in chapter 21 this morning is a 25-year period of time. It took God 25 years from where he first told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And then we're going to see, going over to chapter 13, please, and look at verse number 14. Chapter 13 and verse number 14. We see a second reminder or a second giving to Abraham this statement about a son. And verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Notice chapter 15 and verse number 4. 15:4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. In other words, this Eliezer of Damascus is not going to be heir. You're going to have a son. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So another reminder that he's going to have children. Now, he should have known, simply because of his wife, that this son, the seed, was going to come through Sarah. Of course, that time period, he allowed the culture to influence his thinking. Sarah allowed the culture to influence her thinking. And of course, we know that she recommended Hagar. Abraham argued not with that, went in quickly to Hagar and conceived a son. But he should have known that that wasn't the way. And I think he did know. Chapter 17, notice verse number 15. 17:15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now here's the first specific reference to the fact that this seed is going to come through Sarah, although Abraham should have recognized that and should have known that. Anyway, verse number 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. In other words, God is saying, Abraham, no matter what you think, no matter your desire for Ishmael or not, Sarah is going to have a son indeed. And notice what it says, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now notice chapter number 18. Verse number 10. 18:10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee, now he's speaking to Sarah, according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, Abraham here, and thy wife shall have a son, and Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now notice verse number 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's his answer, or answering question, when it comes to Sarah's laughing about this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Of course, the understood answer to that is no, absolutely not. And then he says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 occasions where God has reminded Abraham of his plan for Abraham and Sarah. Reminded them that he is going to have seed. Reminded him more than once that you're going to have a son by Sarah. And Sarah, yes, you're going to have a son. And now here in chapter 21, we see this fulfillment coming to pass. Of course, God in his foreknowledge knew how long it was going to take for Abraham and Sarah to come to the place where they were going to trust him. And he worked in their lives in a sovereign way to confront them with different things. And as we looked at in chapter number 20 last time, the last thing he had to confront them about was their agreed to lie before they ever left Ur about, hey, you're going to say I'm your brother and I'm going to say you're my sister. And God had to bring that back to them. Two times he dealt with them. The second time he dealt with them, they got that right, because they had to get that right before God could bless them. And we see now in chapter 21 this blessing taking place. Why? Because of God's faithfulness. Aren't you glad that God is going to work in your heart, going to work in your life, to bring you to the place where you know that he is going to do what he said he's going to do? He constantly is going to work. Even with this unconfessed sin of agreeing to lie, God continually worked. God continually blessed. God continued to whittle away. God continued to remind him. Over and over and over and over, he reminded him, hey, I'm faithful. Now, we're going to do a little running study on that for the next few minutes, but find yourself in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, and we're going to run this thought through the Word of God, but as you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter number 7, let me just sort of point you to a verse that's in Numbers chapter 23. As you're looking to Deuteronomy chapter number 7, Numbers chapter 23, verse number 19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie. And then I could go ahead and read the rest of that verse, but that's all it needs to be said. The rest of the verse points out the fact that what he says he's going to do. He's not a man that he should lie. But Deuteronomy chapter number 7, notice verse number 9, we see the beginning of this thought. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, and notice as we go through these, Isaiah 49, you can also be looking for 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Isaiah 49, and notice please verse number 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and His Holy One, to Him whom man despises, to Him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and rise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. May I point out, it doesn't make any difference what man thinks he wants to do. No matter how much he wants to resist God, what God says he's going to do, he's going to do. Why? He's faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. You say, why you want to look at these verses? Because I want this principle to be clearly understood and known before I finish this morning, that God is faithful to do what He said. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now notice how God faithful is. He's not even going to allow more to come upon you than you can handle, where you're going to fall into sin because of lack of faithfulness on His part. It's not going to happen. If we fall into sin, it's not because He's not faithful. It's not because He hasn't provided a way. It's because we haven't looked for the way, and we're not dependent upon His Word, because He is faithful to help us to do right. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And notice, please, verse number 24. It says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. God that has called you, God that has saved you, is the God that will help you to do what you need to do and bring you to the place of maturity in victorious Christian living. He's the one that's going to help you do that. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God is faithful. And go also to 1 Peter chapter 4. We will go back to Hebrews. I've bypassed it in the order here simply because I want to sort of finish up with that one. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I mean, you don't have to worry. You can submit yourself to the Lord. He is faithful. And then chapter 10 of Hebrews, and verse number 23 is just a great verse. Notice verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. That promise. This is the whole idea back in Genesis, that God had promised Abraham some things, and He was faithful to bring it about. Hey, God's promised you some things too. God's promised this church some things too. And He is faithful, and we can trust Him. And when it comes to forgiveness of sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At least two different times in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and chapter number 3, that we see that Jesus Christ there is called the faithful witness. Listen, one thing for sure that comforts my heart, and you can go back to Genesis chapter 21. One major thing that comforts my heart is to know that I have a faithful God that's going to bring about and work in my heart and do that which, hey, that which is only best for me, that which is only best for you. And hey, He loved you and He gave Himself. He loved the church and He gave Himself. And without question, His faithfulness to you personally and His faithfulness to this church, He is going to do His part when it comes to making sure that you personally are taken care of and this church is taken care of personally. And I say all that for this reason, of course. Me leaving is best for this church. And we need to understand that and see that as a body here. God's led and God will lead. God has blessed and God will continue to bless. He's not going to remove His blessing because I'm leaving. You got to understand, God is a whole lot bigger and a whole lot more faithful than Frank Kemp ever was and ever could be. I leave you in a whole lot better hands than mine. And that's the hands of the Lord. So we see here the faithfulness of God to Abraham and His faithfulness to Sarah here is seen in a very, very real way. The second thing I want you to see is not only the faithfulness of God, but in verses 1 through 4, the fulfillment of His promise. God can and does act in grace to us many times when we're not acting in faith. Now, let me say that again. God can and does act in grace to all of us many times when we're not acting and living by faith, but God will not fully bless us apart from us believing Him. Now, I want you to see that. He does act in grace. He does act in mercy. He does act in compassion when we're not what we should be. And that's seen in Abraham and Sarah's life, beginning in chapter 12 all the way up to now to 21. God continually worked and blessed and reminded them, but they weren't fully trusting Him. But He brought them through and matured them and brought them to that place where they ultimately could believe His promise. In verse number 1 it says, and the Lord visited Sarah. Notice also in verse number 1, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Notice verse number 2, and Sarah conceived and bore. All those words are action words, and guess who did the action? Our God did the action. The fulfillment of the promise is totally based upon His authority and upon His blessing, with the exception, with the addition of their faith. God always acts in grace more when people believe than when they don't. I mean, He won't save anybody unless they're willing to exercise faith. By grace are you saved through faith. I mean, God designed that plan. He'll change it for no man. If a man won't exercise faith, He can't save them. If man won't exercise faith, He can't fully bless them. But we see here the fulfillment of promise. First thing I want you to see in this fulfillment of promise is the miracle of the conception in verse 1 and 2 and verse 5. Again, Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Now, this old age thing is emphasized here. Notice verse number 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Now, why is that so important? Well, it was unusual. Now, we'll see. Turn with me, please. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Also put a marker in Romans chapter number 4 of Romans. Romans chapter 4. And also Hebrews chapter number 11. Two places that I think we need to deal with when it comes to this miracle of His conception. See, now, I mentioned earlier that God had worked in their lives for some 25 years to bring them to this place where they would trust God. Notice, please, verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received. Now, the wording there is quite interesting. Sarah herself. And this separates her from Abraham. In other words, she wasn't acting on Abraham's faith. She was acting on her faith. You see, it wasn't going to get done if just Abraham had faith. It wasn't going to get done if just Sarah had faith. Abraham and Sarah had to have faith for this to take place. It says, receives strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, she was past age. Past age of what? Past age of childbearing. She had already gone through her menopause time in her life. She was no more physically able to have children. It was impossible physically. But it says here that she believed God to the place. She considered him faithful who had promised. Now, notice I didn't use that verse earlier because I knew I was going to look at it. She judged him, God, faithful who had promised. What had he had promised? Her son. And she finally got to the place where she believed that. Now, it took God working in her life for those 25 years to bring her to the place where she finally believed this. Verse 12. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Now notice, this verse says that Abraham's body was as good as dead. Now what that means is, he too was unable in himself physically to produce a son. Why? He wasn't able to perform the sexual relationship that would produce one. We'll come back to this. So many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. From this one that was as good as dead, God fulfilled his word. Now go back to Romans chapter 4. Now Romans chapter 4, we see some interesting applications here concerning this idea of Abraham. Notice verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope? What does that mean, against hope? What kind of hope? All human hope. Believed in hope that he might, hope from what standpoint? God. That he might become the father of many nations. That's what God told him. You're going to be the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Goes back to Genesis 15, 5, 6. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Equal statement in Hebrews chapter 11. Now here's Abraham. Now listen, it says here not being weak in faith. For 25 years he had been when it came to this issue right here. But God worked. God brought him to the place where now at this point in time, he considered himself not weak in faith. It says, but considered not his own body dead, when he was about 100 years old. And see, that's when at 100 years old is when he finally came to a place, and Sarah came to a place, we can trust God. Neither did he, yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, Abraham, was able also to perform. Now, what am I saying? The fulfillment of the promise is a miracle of the conception here, and we see now in these passages that God, the miracle of the conception was also a part of God working and bringing these two people to the place of faith. And that which they probably hadn't done in years. They planned a special night. And you say, Pastor Camp, I'm not reading into it. This is exactly in my mind what took place. Abraham and Sarah looked at each other and said, it's time that we conceived a son and we're planning a special night for that time. And they did so by faith and they performed it by faith and God blessed it and gave them a miracle birth. Question to you and me. When it comes to fulfillment of God's promise, they, Abraham and Sarah, looked at the reality of the flesh and said, we're past age, but God can take us past that. My body's dead and your body's dead, but God can take us past that. And back in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17 there, Abraham laughed a laugh of delight. In chapter 18, verse number 12, you see Sarah laughing a laugh of doubt. But then here in chapter 21, you can go back to 21, you see them laughing a life of delight, of delivery. But the miracle of the conception. God worked, and God brought them to the place. See, God took their small faith and strengthened it. And by the way, that's what God will always do with our faith, is strengthen it. At least He tries. He works. And if we give in and let Him strengthen our faith to the place where we have strong faith, in chapter 21 in verses 1, 2 here and following, we see them both come into the place where they had strong faith. They let their slight faith be strengthened, the small faith be strengthened, and God is more than faithful to do that. God knows how to work all things together for good to them that love Him, them that's called according to His purpose. He knows how, and He knows what. And by the way, every single person in this room, He'll do something different, probably. He'll work in a different area because we have different areas that we're weak and different areas that we're strong. But He knows exactly what button to push. He knows exactly how much to turn the dial up or when to turn it down. To put the right heat in your life and the right heat in my life to bring us to the place, all right, God, I can trust You. Come back to verse number 2 here and see the second thing about the fulfillment of the promise. Not only the miracle of the conception, but number 2, the mastery of the circumstances. Is verse number 2. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time in which God had spoken to him. Back over in these verses, we see that God promised Abraham, said, you know, I'm going to come back and I'm going to visit you. Now, how did and why could he do that? Because he knew. He knew what was going to be the result of them dealing with their life. He knew how long it was going to take. He knew the circumstances. He knew exactly what it was going to take. And God knows in your life what it's going to take. And God knows in mine. But the mastery of the circumstance. Have you put your circumstances in God's hands? And going to trust Him through those circumstances? We all need to, don't we? And here we see that He said at the set time. Third thing I want you to see is verse number 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. So we see the miracle of the conception. Second, we see the mastery of the circumstances. Number 3, we see the meaning of the called name. Go back to chapter 17, please, and notice verse number 19. 17:19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. Now, I could read that, and thou shalt call his name Laughter. For Isaac means to laugh or to cause to laugh. God's got a sense of humor. Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed. And God says, I'm going to remind you for the rest of your life of your doubting me. I'm going to call your son Laughter. And every time they called Isaac, what do you think they remembered? Why did we doubt God? Why would we even think that He couldn't do or wouldn't do what He told us He was going to do? Every time they called His name, they had a twinge of memory. They were reminded of what they could have done and seen done years before. And if they had only trusted God sooner. But we see the meaning of the called name. But go back and let's look at verse number 4. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. The fourth thing I see in its fulfillment is the message of the covenant. What was the message of the covenant? We could go back to Genesis 17 and verse number 12, and there God spelled out for Abraham in detail, beginning up in the first part, saying, you know, I'm going to do this, 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 I'm going to do this. And then in verse number 12, Abraham, you're going to do this. And what was this covenant of circumcision? It was a covenant where the father, when he circumcised his son, and by the way, that's the way it was supposed to have been. It was the father saying, I believe God's promises. It was God's statement, I am dependent upon God's grace in my life to take care of this son and bring this son to the place of faith in God and accepting the covenant that God has given me. Hey, fathers in this room, what are you doing to show your kids that you trust God? What are we doing as a church to show that we believe God and we trust God? Here we see the message in the covenant, the message in circumcision was, I believe God. And somewhere down the road, I believe Abraham got to teach Isaac what this meant. What it meant to trust God. How God had promised so much to him. And son, he's promised it to me, and he promised it not just to me, but he promised it to me and to my seed and to your seed forever. How long can we trust God? Forever. We don't have to just trust him today and say, well, I don't think he can take care of me tomorrow. No, he can take care of you tomorrow as well as he can today. We see the message in the covenant in verse number 4. Quickly, in verse 5 through 7, the facts of the events. In verse number 5, again, the age of Abraham is repeated, is emphasized. By the way, that same truth was emphasized in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 19. It's also emphasized, and although it wasn't said, it was implied in Hebrews chapter 11 when it came to Sarah. So the age of the facts. And the facts are important. Because later on in this chapter, you see Abimelech come in and say, we see that God has blessed you in all things. Now, how he had seen that? Because he saw a 100-year-old man delivering a son, having a son by a 90-year-old woman. But we see the age of Abraham. Number two under this, we see the attitude of Sarah. An attitude. Now, notice in verse number 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. We see in her attitude, first, her rejoicing. She was rejoicing here over the work of God. She is praising God in this verse. God hath made me to laugh. He deserves my praise. He deserves my laughter. Last time I laughed in doubt. Now I'm laughing in delivery. God has allowed me to see his marvelous works. Listen, everybody in this room can go look back in your life and see great things God's done for you. I mean, if you're here this morning, you know Jesus Christ is Savior. He's done a great work in your life. We need to rejoice and praise God and for that truth, much less other things that he's done for us. Hey, he has kept us from so much that we won't even know the things he's kept us and protected us from until we get to glory. Rejoice. But then notice verse 6 and 7, second thing about her attitude was the reaction of others. In verse number 6, so that all that hear will laugh with me. When people heard, hey, a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman had a child. Many of them are going to laugh. Well, that's just unbelievable. I just can't comprehend that. But some are going to rejoice as Sarah did, not from a position of surprise, as verse number 6 talks about, but notice verse number 7. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? Understood answer to that question? No one. Unless. Now, I'm inserting this thought, in unless. They were going to rejoice with Sarah in their reaction to surprise in verse number 6, but verse number 7, if they'd think about it just a little bit. Who would believe that Abraham and Sarah could have? No one, unless they realize the sovereign power of God. And if they stop and realize the sovereign power of God, they say, you know, for God, that's no big deal. But so much of the time, when things happen, we don't stop and consider the sovereign power of God and think, oh, well, me, what am I going to do? You know, how's this and how's that? No, quit looking around and quit looking it in and look up and say, the sovereign power of God will handle this. And that's what the attitude of Sarah is right here. If people would just stop and realize, like I've had to stop and realize, they won't be surprised. But they will rejoice because of the sovereign power of God. God can bring amazement to anybody if they're willing to look. Most people got their eyes on other things. Some people today sitting in churches across the South can't worship this morning because Alabama lost yesterday. And they're just, oh, Alabama. Listen, there's more tears shed yesterday over that loss than almost any tears shed in the whole state of North Carolina when it comes to churches. It's amazing how people just get their heart broken over something like that, but they can't have their heart broken over what God's doing or what they need to be doing. but the facts of the events. Notice quickly, verse number 8, and I'm done this morning. The feast of celebration, verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast in the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, a feast of celebration here, it was a custom in that day to have a weaning feast. They were weaned anywhere between the ages of 2, and custom-wise, anywhere from age 2 to age 3. It could have been as early as 2, it could have been late as 3, but they almost never went beyond that. There's a few instances, depending on the health of the child, if they went beyond that. So this is a customary feast. It was customary to wean, and it was customary to have this feast. Now, one thing that this grew and weaned implies is a healthy development on the part of the child, right? I want to close this morning, and I'm going to turn and read this verse and save you time for turning, but I want to read this verse and ask you a question in closing. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Where the feast of celebration implied a healthy development, the verses that I read in closing here are verses that speak to our healthy spiritual development. God worked in Abraham and Sarah's life to bring them to the place where they have full age. Bring them to the place of maturity. Bring them to the place where they realize that they can trust God. And for us spiritually this morning, my closing question is, where are you at in your healthy development for Him? Is this word still just milk to you? Or is it time, and should you have been weaned a long time ago from milk where you can handle the meat of God's Word? I'm here to tell you, when you can handle the meat of God's Word, you'll realize that God is faithful and that I can trust Him. And by the way, you don't have to be saved very long before you can make that choice. You know, I don't know why we seem to think that somebody's got to be a Christian 10 years before they can start handling meat and start trusting God as being faithful. That's a choice that you make, and it can be made very quickly. Now, I'm asking this morning, are you trusting God, the faithful God, to fulfill the promises that He's made to you? I mean, this Bible says all the promises that are in the Bible to us Christians are all yea, and in Him, amen. You can trust Him. Let's trust Him.